Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. God's word for our meditation today is found recorded in Mark chapter 6, verses 30 to 34. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all that they had done and taught. And then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. So far, our text. Christ our Savior, dearly beloved of God, it's hard to believe that we will soon be entering already the month of August. Before you know it, children are going to be going back to school. The fall schedule will soon afterward kick into gear. The lazy, hazy, crazy days of summer, as an American singer of yesteryear once described them, will have reached their end. A sentiment we sometimes hear expressed, and I think we can all relate, is that it sure would be nice if summer would last a little while longer. Wouldn't it be great to have more time, more opportunity, more days and hours for recharging the batteries of our bodies and minds? The reality is that the time we can set aside for vacation, trips, camping, outings to the mountains, periods of summer leisure is limited. And when I read about Jesus' work schedule in the Bible, his days of ministry, I usually don't associate such thoughts with him. I usually think of Jesus, perhaps you do too, as being somebody who the limitless dynamo of physical energy and stamina. After all, he was and is the Almighty Son of God, right? Think of all the mighty deeds he did, like calming storms with a word and casting out super strong demons from people. Very one concerning whom Isaiah the prophet wrote, "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the heavens of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary. He gives strength to the weary. Even youths grow tired and weary. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They'll soar on wings like eagles. They'll run and not grow weary. They'll walk and not be faint." And yet we know, don't we, that Jesus, the Son of God, the Almighty Son of God, yet in his state of humiliation, as one who emptied himself of the full use of his divine power to serve us in lowliness and love, and who was in every respect just as human as we are, except that he never sinned, could get tired. And so it ought not surprise us to hear that he needed to take time off to relax. And in today's sermon, we want to think about this, how Jesus, as our brother in the flesh, who was subject to bodily and emotional fatigue himself, can well relate to our need for rest. And we want to praise him as our compassionate rest giver, who knows all about our need and provides for our bodily rest, and who also supplies the all-important rest that we require for our souls. Now, the part of Palestine where Jesus was busy working away in his ministry at this time was up in Galilee, probably somewhere near Capernaum along the seacoast of Lake Galilee. And Mark records how news about Jesus' amazing accomplishments, like his changing water to wine at the Cana wedding, and his curing people of their health problems, spread like wildfire, even without Twitter or texting. The word got around very quickly about his miracles and fantastic preaching of the words of eternal life. And when folks heard this, that the famed rabbi from Nazareth was coming to their city, they flocked to go listen to Jesus, that they might receive from him the words of eternal life and also health problem help that they needed as well. And it's worth noting in this connection, dear friends, you ever notice this, that you never read in the Gospels anywhere Jesus turning people away? His saying, recorded by John in his Gospel, chapter 6, "All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never drive away," was true, still is today, in every instance. This, however, presented Jesus and his disciples back then with a bit of a dilemma, because people were coming to him in droves, basically nonstop all hours of the day. They didn't have a chance to take a lunch break or to rest up from their labors. And Jesus, recognizing that this was not wise or healthy to burn the candle at both ends, gave the instruction to his disciples, "Come. Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place to get some rest." And so he walked with them down to the seashore, stepped inside of a fishing boat, and set sail to the opposite shore so that they could enjoy some relaxation and decompress for a while. Now let's press the pause button on our Bible story for a moment to consider a good application that you and I may draw from it for our lives today. As mentioned earlier, one of them is that Jesus does indeed recognize the need that we have and provides for our bodily rest. Do you remember on one occasion when the disciples came to Jesus with a request to teach them how to pray, that he gave them the Lord's Prayer as a model, and how he included in that prayer one petition in which he encouraged them to ask their Heavenly Father for daily bread? Well, one of the items in the daily bread basket that we pray for and the Lord provides us with is physical rest and relaxation. And Jesus teaches us to pray for this, promises that he will give it to us. He wants us to recognize that it's not wise or healthy for us either to burn the candle at both ends. It's important that we take time off to do things that promote our physical and emotional well-being. Things like eating right, going for a walk, getting a good night's rest, because, not as an end in itself, but because and especially our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, which Jesus purchased at the cost of his lifeblood. And so that we might then have energy and vigor for our earthly vocations, yes, but then also for serving him in his kingdom until the time arrives when he will take us into our eternal rest. Psalm 127 also comes to mind in this connection, where the Lord reminds us that success in any given endeavor, all of our daily work responsibilities, never depends on our strength, our own ability, but on his gifting us with the energy and the strength that we need. We read there, Psalm 127. Unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stands guard in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat. For he grants sleep to those whom he loves. The Lord in this psalm is not encouraging us to be lazy or be slack with our work. The Bible teaches us, you know that Bible verse 2, anyone that would not work, neither should he eat. He wants us to be energetic, industrious, conscientious in our earthly callings, but ever to keep in mind as we do that, that the ability to bring home the bacon, to provide for ourselves and families, hinges not on our own brawn and strength, but on the vim and the vigor that he himself provides, and on the success that he gives to our work labors as we trustingly put Jesus first. Speaking of putting the Lord's things first, the importance of that, let's press the pause button now on the story. Allow it to roll forward. Let's view Jesus and his disciples crossing over in that fishing vessel to the opposite shore, dragging it up on the sandy beach and disembarking, there to enjoy some much-needed downtime. And let's note what happens next. We're told how a huge crowd was waiting for Jesus. People who had seen him embark in the boat and knew where he was going, and who ran on foot around the northern coast and beat him to his vacation spot because they wanted to have more help from him, more teaching, more assistance with their health issues. Jesus' reaction is quite striking. Remember what I said a moment ago about the Lord never turning anybody away? I don't know about you, I think I would have been more than a little disappointed to have come all that way across the sea to enjoy some respite, and now to have another crowd to deal with. How did he react? Well, we read, when he landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and so he began teaching them many things. So Jesus saw that crowd of people as spiritually famished, lacking in heavenly guidance, helpless and restless, tired sheep. He realized they did not know that he had come as God's Son into the world as their divinely appointed Savior, the Lord our righteousness, to take our sin guilt away by offering up his holy life on the cross, to provide for their all-important soul needs, telling the good news that he'd come as the Lamb of God. They didn't know that he had come as the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world, and that he was himself, as we read later on in John chapter 6, he is himself the bread of life, which if a man eats, that is, spiritually ingests by faith, he'll live on forever. So he spent the balance of the day teaching them all about that. And oh, by the way, then as you know the story, that huge crowd numbering 5,000 plus, he then provided a meal of fish and bread for their stomachs, using his power as God's Son, to provide for their physical need too. Dear friends, Jesus views you and me the same way that he viewed the people on the shoreline that day. He's also very deeply concerned. Yeah, he provides. He promises to provide for our bodily needs. But most especially, his great desire is to provide us with the all-important rest for our souls. That's his overarching concern for us, to help us to know, help us to be sure that we need never fear the consequences of our sins or the specter of God's fiery judgment in hell as we look to him in faith as our divine Savior. That's his chief work. to let us know all about that, to comfort us with the news that although we deserve God's anger, we are indeed liable for God's punishment because of our inexcusable breaking of his laws. He came here in love to live the perfect life we can't. Love for God and neighbor, in all his thoughts, all his words, all his deeds, and then forfeited his life of perfection on the cross, pouring out his precious blood there to establish peace between us and our holy God. He confers his perfect rest upon us every time we hear the gospel. When he tells us, and he assures us also in the Lord's Supper, which we receive frequently, "Come, let us reason together. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they're red like crimson, they shall be like wool. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let your heart not be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Jesus also teaches us about the importance of, especially of this heavenly rest for our souls when he provided us with that model prayer, the Lord's Prayer that I spoke of earlier. I mentioned before how he gave it as a model for our prayer lives, included the one petition in which he encourages us to ask our Heavenly Father to provide us with the needs of our bodies. But notice that he provided six petitions of the seven in which he teaches us to pray for spiritual blessings, impressing upon us in that way that as important as our bodily needs are to get rest for our minds and bodies, spiritual rest is far more important. Why? It's why he also commands us in commandment number 3, you know that one? Remember the Sabbath day, that's the rest day, to keep it holy, that is, set it apart, the worship day, so that you might receive from Jesus rest for your soul in his word. And when it is impossible to attend worship because of unavoidable work conflicts or illnesses or travel, then to make set aside time to read his word privately during the week, or contact the pastor, invite him to stop by for a visit, to share the gospel with you at home during the week. Jesus said, Do not work for food that spoils, but for the food that endures to eternal life that the Son of Man will give you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. Marvelous words of gospel encouragement for us to come get from Jesus that heavenly rest. So praise be to him, our compassionate rest giver. And let's pray for the Holy Spirit's wisdom to make the acquiring of that spiritual rest our life's priority. Let's always rejoice in Jesus' gracious invitation. "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke on you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Until by his grace we're privileged to enjoy the perfect Sabbath rest that lies in store for us in heaven, where there's not going to be any more stress, no growing tired ever, no hectic days, but where we will enjoy peace with Jesus from all our earthly labors. What a wonderful vacation that will be. Amen. And may the peace of God, which is able to protect you far more effectively than the human mind, guard your hearts and thoughts through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.
hold with your spirit.